Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the spirits of White Hill Mansion with Don Reichard. Now, have you heard about the paranormal reports of the paranormal, I should phrase it that way, quite a while back? Has this been something that people have kind of talked about for quite a while in association with the White Hill Mansion?
No. So here's the weird thing. When I started volunteering there, I had so many neat experiences, and I had gone to the board at the time and I was like, listen, I would really like to start like a paranormal program, let people come in here and experiment. It'll help you fundraise. Because I don't know, I'm sure your listeners know this, it is extremely hard to get grant money for historic houses. There's a lot of competition out there, and most of these grants are matching grants, which means you have to be able to raise money to match the grants you get. So it's not like someone's going to give you $1 million to fix up a really cool historic house. You have to match that money. So you have to be able to raise money. So what's a great way to raise money? Oh my gosh, this place is actually haunted. You know, let's try to share that with people. And they thought I was nuts. It actually took about 14 months for me to convince them. Finally, they said, okay, well, started on a limited. So we did like one or two a year. So it took a long time for that kind of to grow. But during this time, we started talking to people. So we met people who were busboys, who were waitresses, that had came to visit the restaurant, who had lived there before. There was a couple different owners in the last couple years that the restaurant was going. And every now and then, we would get a story from them about how kids were playing upstairs while their parents were in the bar working as a bartender or whatever, and they would have an experience. We had a waitress who came in who had an experience. We had a busboy that came in on a tour and told us of an experience. So even though it wasn't out there that this place was famously haunted or anything like that, stories began to come out of people who had them in 1970s, in the 1980s. Started coming out. So it made me feel better because at the beginning, I was the only one to have the experiences and I thought I was crazy. You know, so when somebody else has a similar experience, I was like, okay, thank goodness you heard that, you saw that. And so it made me feel better. But yeah, it does seem that over time that people have come out with different stories of the place, which is really neat. I talked to, let me back up there. We went back and did some research into some of the other owners, and we went back as far back as the 1830s. So in the 1830s, the house was owned by David Bruce, and he had a son, David Bruce Jr., who lived there. He used to hang out with Joseph Bonaparte. So Napoleon Bonaparte's brother famously had land in Bordentown, New Jersey, and they used to hang out together. Right. So Napoleon's brother used to hang out at White Hill and they used to do seances just for fun. So I don't know if that has anything to do with the paranormal or not. I just think it's a really neat part of history that that happened.
And it was kind of a thing at that time, you know, seances and spiritualism, why they're trying to connect to spirits and things. Yeah, that makes sense to me. They'd be doing seances there.
Yeah, very vogue at the time, I would assume.
Absolutely. And especially if you're living in a place like that.
Right? So who knows? Maybe they talked to an old Hessian ghost or something like that.
Did it take a while then? Because it had to have been a little awkward, you saying, hey, I think that we should do some paranormal investigations. We could make some money. And they're like, you are so crazy. No. Did it take a while, though, to convince them? And in the meantime, did they go, you know what, I kind of had an experience, too?
Did no, the board they thought I was crazy. Around? So, yeah, I had one board member said, I don't believe in ghosts. And I was like, okay, well, do you believe in money? Because I'm trying to raise your money here. You know, like, even if we have just, like, start tours or some kind of little candlelight tour or something like that. You know what I mean? Trying to come up with something that the public would be interested in that would help them raise funding for grants. Yeah, none of them had any experiences before because they didn't spend a lot of time in the house. They were busy with all the paperwork and the, you know, all the other
True.
Stuff.
Yeah, you've got to do that.
Yeah, like we're, when it comes to a charity, we're babies. We've only had our 501c3 since 2013. So when it comes to like these big old historic houses, especially these Revolutionary War homes in, you know, during this time period, they've been historic places since, you know, this late 17, early 1800s. So at the beginning, it takes a long, long time before you really get into the dirt and start working on the good stuff. So yeah, like none of them had had paranormal experiences. And then one of the girls on the board said, listen, I want to come on one of your ghost hunts. And about halfway through the ghost hunt, she got very upset. And she looked at me and she said, I want to go home. And apparently she had looked down one of the hallways and saw a shadow or something looking back at her. And she was not okay with it. It took her a while before she kind of came to terms with what she saw down that hallway. Eventually, she was cool with it. And then she participated in the ghost hunts after that. But I think there's a big difference in thinking your place is haunted and then having an experience mm-hmm. where you have to really face that fact. So I think it took a while for that to really sink in that, yeah, maybe she's right. Maybe Dawn's right that this place is haunted.
No, that's true. And because I've said this a million times, you know, people who don't believe in it have never had an experience. So once you've had an experience that you can't explain, it does open you up to the possibility of something else.
But yeah, absolutely. Sometimes it might take four, five, six experiences uh-huh. before it finally sinks in. Because, and I was certainly that way. You know, a door slams behind me, I'm like, nah, the wind got it. Or, you know, something else crazy happens and you just kind of like brush it away. And then when something finally happens where you're faced with that, you have to sit down and have a conversation with yourself because it can be a little upsetting because it changes your world.
Mm-hmm. You had to have felt a little justified or maybe, I don't know the right word I want here, but in 2023, it was named one of the top 500 places in New Jersey. So you had to have felt a little like, hey, I'm not the only one.
Other people are picking up on this. Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah. I might be sharing it with our listeners.
Don't tell anybody.
There might be other people listening, but go ahead.
Well, don't tell anybody. When I started there, I just thought the house was just so amazing. There's so many amazing things about that house. And I said to the board, I go, I am going to make this place famous. It might take me a decade. I don't know how long it'll take me, but I will get this place on TV. I'm going to make this place famous. And so, yeah, when I saw that, I was like, oh, thank goodness. I always thought that when we get to the point where we're on TV, like we've made it, baby. And what I did not realize was that's not true. So it's still the fight. So even though, yeah, we've been on a couple of the really good ghost shows, there's still a long way to go. There's still a lot of fundraising. There's still a lot of fixing. There's still a lot of grants. But it's a good way to get the public involved. You know, without the community, we're done. We're not going to survive. There are historic places that get cut down every year, mm-hmm. constantly. So without the community support, we're doomed. So thank goodness, I think that we have a good following so that we really can save this house. You know, my goal is to make sure that when I'm too old to take care of it and it has to pass on to another board member or another team of people, that the legacy of White Hill Mansion lives on. And so that's my goal all the time. It's not to be on TV. It's not really to be famous. The famous is just to save it so that we have the backing of the community. So I'm hoping that we're in our first couple steps to really getting there. So yes, when I saw that, the number one haunted place, and I was like, that's so cool. We're getting there. That's not the goal. It's a good step toward the goal.
Well, and it does, by getting that recognition right there, that just raised a whole bunch of money for you because people are going to want to come investigate it. It kind of put it on the map.
You know, what's so crazy when I started this idea of like, hey, let's open up and, you know, Pennhurst does it and a couple other places do it. Let's try it. See if we can make this happen here. I thought maybe we had maybe 5 years. Let's do this for 5 years and see what happens, you know, and then if we forget about the ghost stuff and just focus on the history, that's fine. You know, hopefully we'll get some good grants out of it. And then here we are 15 years later and we're going strong. Like we're booked out 6, 7, 8 months in advance. So it's never been better. I mean, I think our best year we ever had was during the pandemic. What's a cool thing to do when you can't go anywhere? True. Let's go hang out with 5 of my best friends in an old haunted house, you know? And I really think it really caught on in 2020 and we're still riding that wave. So thank goodness. And I go into the house and I just thank the spirits. Like, thank you so much for coming out. Because without you, we can't do any of this. Like, help me help you save this house by coming out and saying hello to people. And they do, which is so amazing. We did an EVP session one night with a group. And one of the investigators asked a question like, hey, can you come out and talk to us? And the recording that he got was, quote, every day, every year. And it just made me laugh because they know, they're like, oh, it's, you know, there's people here, time to put on a show, you know, but it works. I mean, I don't know who all the spirits are there, but they work it. They're amazing.
Do you document any of the findings from the investigators that come in, or do you have some kind of journal or way to share the information that they get?
No, and I should. No, because, and let me tell you something about running a place like this, you have to put on about 40 different hats.
Oh, so, I bet.
You know, you have to know how to, you know, do social media and, you know, you have to know how to run a website and you have to know how to write a grant and you have to, you know, you have to do this and you have. So when it comes down to having a lot of time, no. And I wish through the years that I would have, a lot of the experience people have told me is burned in my brain. But it's also enjoyable to go on YouTube and just Google Whitehill and like watch some of the videos because they're some of them are pretty crazy. Every now and then people will send me a video and yeah, some of them are quite impressive.
I have talked to some places who basically leave journals out. And it's like, if you would like to share an experience here, just write it down and with the date.
Yeah, that's an amazing idea. We should do that.
And I thought that was kind of interesting for them to go back because one of them had been doing that for years. And so it was interesting to hear some of the other stories, you know, that were like 5 or 6 years ago could have happened today. It was just kind of, there was some through lines that stayed the same with different people coming in to investigate. So I always find that interesting because you're two totally different groups of people don't even know each other. You go to the same location and have similar experiences on different nights.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the coolest things about doing what I do is just to see if it's consistent, if there's any kind of pattern to some of these happenings. You know, basically after, you know, over a decade, I could say there's no pattern. It happens when it happens. But some of the hauntings there are consistent when, like we were talking about kids and getting your shirt tugged or being poked in the back or something like that. Certain things in certain areas seem to happen repeatedly over and over again. And that's a lot of fun. I think when somebody has that kind of experience, especially if you've had that experience, it's neat. You almost have that little connection with them.
And especially for someone like you, who is a paranormal investigator, to be able to go back to the same location over and over and over and over again. It just seems to me that's kind of how you build your evidence. And the house stays the same, but these occurrences continue happening. And I find that really interesting because you've spent so much time there.
It's almost like a double-edged sword because I think now to the point, like they know me so well, I think they can almost like I can almost see them rolling their eyes, you know? Yeah. So you don't get the surprise of a brand new experience like you do when you go to a place you've never been to before. But there's also this really comforting feeling of I know them and they know me. So you don't have that uncomfortable feeling when you walk into a room because you know who's there. And it's interesting because you're right. If you haven't been to this through this experience over a long period of time, you don't have that unless you live in a haunted house. And then you have mm-hmm. that kind of mm-hmm. rapport with a spirit, which is completely bizarre if you don't believe in ghosts. But it's there. It's almost like a comforting feeling sometimes.
Or terrifying. As it, when I was a kid, well, we lived in a
depending
house.
Depending on what room you're in. Yeah. Especially a White Hill.
Yeah. And as a kid, it was very scary for me. Because I didn't know who's walking around my house in the middle of the night, and there's nobody. So there's nobody walking around my house, but there's somebody walking around my house, and I don't know how to process this. So
yeah, I think if I would have had an experience as a kid without a parent walking you through it, that could be really scary.
Do you have a couple really interesting stories that have been shared with you from investigators that have come in?
Honestly, my favorite stories are the ones where I've had the same experience and I'm like, yes, absolutely. Yeah. One of my favorite stories was, it was a public investigation, and the person who was running this investigation, it was his first time ghost hunting. He's been at the house before, but it was his first time running the ghost hunt. And I was talking to him in the hallway. And you know when you're talking to somebody and you know that they're not really listening to you? You know what I mean? You can mm-hmm. almost see it in their eyes. And I finally said, what's up? So apparently right behind me, an apparition of a woman appeared behind me and stared at him. They made eye contact and then the woman disappeared.
Mm.
And like he had to go outside and sit down. He was like not okay for a little bit, and I don't blame him. I guess when an apparition just stares you dead in the eye, it kind of unsettles you. And of course, it was behind my back, which is rude. I wish I would have seen it. But yeah, he still tells that story. That was probably 5-6 years ago. He still tells the story. And the cool thing is, somebody else had seen a lady in the same spot. Didn't even tell me about it. Someone else had told me, and so I asked her, "What did you see that night?" And she just casually just said, you know, I saw a lady in white, and she completely described her exactly the same way as the first guy described her. In the same area, the same look, long blonde hair, described the dress, everything. So I know both of them weren't lying because they both described the same thing to me, which I think is really cool.
That is really cool. And I read that in the basement where the speakeasy was, that the... Maybe it's a bartender, someone who's really connected to that bar.
I know who he is. I'll tell you another secret.
Okay. And don't mind if I share this with some other people.
Don't tell anybody. Yeah. Well, okay. So apparently the only person he's ever been violent to is me. All right. So, you know, oh my gosh, he's just so mean to me. My first experience with him was I had run downstairs to get a screwdriver. And as I leaned over the drawer, a vase came flying across the bar and just missed my head.
Oh, my
God.
You know,
and I just laughed it off. And I was like, oh, he missed. Whatever. And
You're so much braver than me.
But it happened so fast. By the time I reacted to it, it was over. And I was with two other volunteers. And I said, what happened? And they were both texting on their phone. They're like, what? We heard it. What happened? So they didn't see it either. And then I was given a tour, about 15 people, and I'm behind the bar telling the story of the speakeasy. And I can feel like this pain on the back of my neck, and I ignored it because I'm talking. And then all of a sudden my necklace just ripped off my neck. Like the pressure got like way heavier. And then my necklace just broke and just kind of exploded. It was probably really cool on their side of the bar. So that was really weird. And he doesn't even care if it's in front of people, because every time I've had something happen, other people have witnessed it. I was down in the bar the one time we were having a meeting down there, and I thought part of the ceiling hit me on the head. I got hit on top of the head so hard, I thought a beam hit me. So I guess the jerk just went over and like hit me on top of the head. I don't know. He's so mean to me. So I had a friend who channeled him. I mean, he told me his name. He told me what he did there. I promise I wouldn't tell his name because I'm hoping someday he tells somebody else.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's a good idea.
It's like a gangster name, you know, something like, you know, Jimmy the Nose, something like that. But he told us he was an enforcer. So his job would be, I guess, to like keep the peace. We've had other spirits said that he killed them down there. So I don't know. Like historically, I don't have any proof that any of this happened. But yeah, he calls me, you know, the F and B. You know, he's really mean to me. He said to my husband, he like, because I had, like I said, I had a friend who channeled him. Just rolled his eyes and says, how do you put up with that bitch? You know, and I was like, I'm not that mean. Like, why are you so mean to me?
It's like, I'm trying to preserve this place.
Well, yeah, he doesn't care about that.
Obviously.
Yeah, so somebody asked him, like, why do you hate her so much? And what he said kind of blew me away. He said she was the first person who noticed me.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah, because maybe he just doesn't want to be noticed. Especially if he was kind of a bad guy known as the Enforcer. You want to be under the radar if you're that guy.
Yeah. And so there were tunnels underneath the house. Right. So where he's seen most often, and he's only been seen as a giant black shadow. I've seen him as a shadow so black, he blocks out all light. So even in front of like a burning bright light bulb, it's blacker than pitch. And then he moves and you can see the light behind it. I mean, he is like the darkest, dark shadow. And he's mostly seen out where the entrance to the tunnel used to be. So we have a guess that he's hiding something in there or something of value because he gets really upset when you get close to that.
I'm going to have a guess here. My guess would be that's how they brought the liquor in. And so he doesn't want anybody messing with that.
Well, you are exactly right. We know that because Mr. Glenk, who opened the restaurant in the 1920s, has a grandson that lives next door. Now, his grandson's in his 80s. And so we know for a fact that the family did run liquor up and down the Delaware through the tunnels. But here's another interesting thing, and I don't know if this is true. I had an elderly man on one of my tours who told me that when he was a kid, his grandfather used to take him fishing on the Delaware River, and his grandfather pointed up to Whitehill while they were on the river and said that, see that house right there? In the 1930s, they used to Shanghai people there. Now, if you don't know what Shanghai is, and I didn't even know this happened on the East Coast. In the West Coast, I know it happened. But you would go into a bar, and they would either drug your drink or, you know, wait till you got really drunk. And then they would put you on a boat and basically sell you into slavery.
Oh, my God.
Right? Well, I mean, there was a bar in the basement and there were tunnels and the Delaware River goes right into Philadelphia, which goes out into the ocean. So I have no proof at all that that happened. Just what one guy told me on one tour. But it's crazy, right? So I don't know what this enforcer did during his time there, but I don't think he was a good guy. On any level. Yeah,
I don't either, especially the way he treats you.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that's just me. Everybody else he's fine with.
We're recording this in 2024, so, you know, podcasts can live on forever. Somebody could be listening to this 3 years from now. But you do have a paranormal expo coming up. Is that something that you do every year?
We try to have a Paracon every year. The one that we had last year was pretty successful. So we are trying to hopefully repeat the magic this year and kind of expand it to more guests. So we have Katrina Weedman from Portals to Hell and Heather Taddy, who is on Paranormal State. And they have a couple projects that they're working on together. We have Brian Kano that's coming on and a couple other celebrities. We have Weird New Jersey coming on, things like that. So what we're hoping is that every year in May that we can repeat this Paracon and maybe build and make it a little bigger. But it was pretty successful last year. The ones that we had before that were pretty small. So we're hoping as time goes on, it can really help us out. Plus, it gets our name out there too, mm-hmm. which is a lot of fun.
And it also raises money. Everything goes back into the Whitehill Mansion.
100%.
And the one thing about paranormal investigations, you know, you can do a historic tour and take it one time. Maybe you have company come to town and you go again. But a historic tour is something you don't repeatedly do. Paranormal investigations, people will repeat that. And if they had a good experience, they come back and investigate again. So it's a good constant source of revenue.
Oh, yeah. We've had the same teams come every year. And so, and that I noticed within the last year or so, many more young teams. You know, at the beginning, it was all people that I knew would come here and there. And then the same people over and over, which is great. They want to see if they catch the same thing they caught last year. And now it just seems like just so many more groups out there, which is so neat. Because if you really want to teach history, the coolest way to do that is to go ghost hunting. So it works both ways, right?
I think that's one of the things I'm so interested about with the paranormal is I love history. I love the paranormal. And you put the two together, and I think it's just so interesting.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And just imagine, like, when you're ghost hunting, I mean, you might be sitting in the dark. Maybe you're sitting with a spider. I don't even know. But you're imagining what that place was like in another time zone. Mm-hmm. So whether it's Victorian or whether, you know, Native American or wherever you are, you're imagining the lifestyle that they had at that time. And I just think that's such a great experience, especially if you can touch the walls or touch the furniture that touch these people's lives. It's just, I don't know, it's so cool.
Because you think about Mary Fields and what she went through, and you're sitting in her house and you just have to imagine, you know, what did she deal with here? How was that? And it's so interesting to me. Now, what is the best way to get information on the investigations as well as the expo? Is that to go to the website?
Our website is whitehillmansion.org. We have an events page, and then we also have a haunts page. So what I try to do is that throughout the year, we have public events and we have private event opportunities. So that if you had a group and you wanted to come and investigate, you can book, you know, an event just for your group right through the website. And if you are more curious and there's only a couple of you and you kind of want to come with a group, we have different events, probably one or two every month, that you can go on the public part of the page and you can book right on through there too. We have links to everything on there. And I try really hard to keep all our events updated.
And
now, come Halloween, what we do is we have what's called candlelight tours, which are basically like mini ghost hunts. So if you don't want to invest 5, 7, 8 hours into a ghost hunt, you just want to get a little taste of it. We have an hour and a half where you come in and we have investigators that are very familiar with White Hill, and you get a flashlight and you get a piece of ghost hunting equipment, and we pick like 4 or 5 of the most haunted rooms. And we tell a couple stories, but it's mostly about you when you come there and hopefully give you an experience. And that we go into the most haunted rooms with our equipment and sit you down, ask some questions, and see if maybe you can experience something while you're there.
That would be so awesome. And I'll put a link to your website on the show description so people can just click on it right there. But thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, Dawn. I so appreciate this.
Oh my gosh, it was so much fun.
I love talking about this sort of stuff. So thank you so much. And that wraps up our conversation about the White Hill Mansion with Dawn Reichard. For more information, visit their website at whitehillmansion.org. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up on patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.